Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. I'm so glad you're with me tonight. We have got a psychic medium, the psychic medium, Christy Robinette, with us. And she's going to talk about psychic medium stuff and her latest book, Messages from a Wonderful Afterlife. We've got a great show. If you're missing a loved one who's crossed over, this is great information for you to have. So sit back, relax, and when you're done, call Christy for an appointment. You won't be disappointed. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But as you know, I always ask, the real question is, are you ready to release that BS? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love. They heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monet. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MonetChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also opt in for my newsletter, and that's Intuitive Living. That's also from my website, MonetChapman.com. I'm chuckling, folks, because I'm hearing this cow mooing, so I don't know where that's coming from. So hopefully the cow quiet.
It may be my cat. It might be my cat.
No, this is a moo, a distinct moo. It's like, okay.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, moving right along. all of us want to believe that our spirits will survive death after our loved ones and even pets die. We hope that they will visit us in spirit form to comfort and communicate with us from the other side. My guest tonight, Christy Robinette, is a revolutionary psychic medium, international author, and inspirational speaker. In addition to giving readings and teaching workshops, she uses her psychic skills to assist with police investigations. Christy also lectures across the country as a frequent media commentator. She's the author of several books. Tales from the Afterlife is one. Messages from the Afterlife. Messages from a Wonderful Afterlife is the one that we're going to talk about tonight. And there's some others, and you can check her out on her website. And that's ChristyRobinette.com. Let me spell that for you. ChristyRobinette.com. Welcome back, Christy.
Thanks so much. So was that a holy cow you were hearing?
It must have been a holy cow. it was going real deep, like, moo. And I'm looking around my office, right, and I'm like, okay. And then it said it again, and I'm like, okay. So, you know, we got another visitor in spirit. So you tell me who's here.
I love it. I know. Well, I don't know. I don't normally tune in to cows, but... Yeah, that's funny. Although cows do have a really great like symbolism to them. There really is like a holiness to them. And
Well, so holy cow.
Right? Yeah, so holy cow, exactly. Yeah. There's a reason to that saying, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christy, I absolutely love your book, Messages from a Wonderful Afterlife, Signs Loved Ones Send from Beyond. As I was reading the book, it reminded me of my mom who passed over and some other people who passed over and the signs that I received, and I wasn't necessarily looking for them. You have done so much work as a psychic medium, and I must say, folks, she's an ethical psychic medium. She tells you the real deal, not, you know, throw out a couple of crumbs and hopefully it makes sense. So you're welcome. How did all of this come about? Because I know from your book you said that, you know, when you were little, you knew things, and your mom got mad because you told her your grandma or your grandpa was going to pass.
Yeah, my grandma was going to pass. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I was only three, and I was a toddler, and I was seeing spirits. And kids often see these, what is sometimes referenced as imaginary friends, mm-hmm. and they weren't so imaginary to me. I actually see them in a very physical type of a way. So they look like you and I, flesh blood, but they have a translucence to them. And some people see them in their head, and some people just have the feeling, and everyone's got a different ability. No one's better or worse, or, you know, well, sometimes they're worse, but different, or mm-hmm. it's just different. And so, yeah, so I told my mom, I'm like, grandma's going to pass away, because that's what I was being told. And without a filter and being that young, I ended up getting a spanking. And that was my first and only spanking and my last spanking. Mm-hmm. And I went into the closet, literally and figuratively. I actually would go into a closet and talk to my so-called imaginary friends. And my grandmother unexpectedly passed away not too long after I had that prediction. And everyone kind of looked at me a little bit differently. And not long after that, I got sent to the local Lutheran school to try to get both some Christianity and
Lutheran error. Yeah.
And yeah, they tried to save me from them.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't work because I'm almost 50, so I'm still here. I don't know. They didn't get all the demons out, but they didn't really understand it. You know, when back in my day, it was seen as anything to do with the metaphysical or the paranormal was looked at as fraudulent. You know, it was the snake charmers. It was, so you didn't necessarily go to career day and say, I want to be a psychic medium. Is there a mentor for that? You know, and now we've got so many people who have sort of come out of the psychic closet who are great teachers, mm-hmm. you know, and so yeah, but I went through regular K-12 parochial school. I went to college. I married a skeptic. Don't cheat on a psychic. I divorced a skeptic. Had two beautiful kids with him, though, and I ended up, as soon as he, like, left and I was on my own, and everything was coming through. My spirit guides were coming through. I was hearing, seeing, feeling. I was working in the corporate world, and I was confused. And so I ended up going to my minister, my very conservative Missouri Synod Lutheran minister, to sort of get the demons out, go help me with, you know, some holy water or something so I would stop having my experiences. And what I ended up doing is I gave him a reading. And in the book, Messages from a Wonderful Afterlife, I talk more about that in depth. And he looked at me and he said, I think that this is a gift, and I know it's not what you thought your gift, you know, would be or what you'd be doing, but it's a gift. And he gave me a business card of a local medium, and he said, I think that you need to get a reading yourself and sort of find somebody to help at least guide you, you know, not mm-hmm. necessarily mentor you or teach you, but guide you, mm-hmm. maybe for validation reasons. But I did. It took me a little while. I had a reading with the guy, and he closed his eyes and he opened them, and he said, Christy, you see dead people. And I don't refer to them as dead, but that's how he did. And mm-hmm. I said, I do. And it was the first time, like, oh my gosh, someone knows, someone's not going to throw me, you know, to the wolves, because I can see deceased, departed people. And he's like, do you want a job? And I'm like, yeah, maybe. And so that was my first taste of actually giving. I'd never given an official reading before. And I kind of got put right into the flame. And it was across the street from a local police station. And the police officers would come over with cases. Some were solved, some were cold, and they would test me. And so I kind of worked with the best teachers, if you will, was very skeptical law enforcement officers. And I started working with law enforcement all over the world because of that moment, that pivotal moment with me giving a reading to my 70-year-old minister.
Ah, but he really loved that reading.
Yeah, right. So it was something, and then in that initial reading that I had with that medium, he said, you are going to meet somebody. His name starts with an R. He's got two kids. He's been divorced over 10 years. It was very specific. Uh-huh. And I was not looking to get into a relationship, had gone through a terrible relationship. I was really honestly still trying to identify who I was and figure it all out. And I ended up getting set up on a blind date with somebody whose name did not start with an R. And I thought I was safe. And as we met for lunch, he said, "What do you do for a living?" And at that time, I was an HR manager. And instead of saying HR, I said spirit medium. And it was like someone had hit me in the back of the head, you know, and made me do it. And so because blind date, like, what do you do for a living? Hey, I'm a medium. You know, that's not necessarily the easiest topic to come up with. And he looked at me and he goes, "That's pretty cool. Can you pass the ketchup?" And
wow.
I thought, oh gosh, it's too, right? And I thought, gosh, this is so sad. He can't be my soulmate because his name doesn't start with an R. That's what that medium said. So I told him the story and I explained, and he asked me questions, and he turned ghost white when I said, "Well, I'm so sorry, your name doesn't start with an R, so you're not it." And he said, "Well, that's kind of odd because even though my name is Chuck or Charles, my whole family calls me Robbie."
Oh, wow.
And, so I married him. So yeah. When you've got somebody in your life that supports you and doesn't look at you too often like you're crazy, it also helps, you know, too. So I quit my job about 15 years ago, my corporate job, and I set up an office when the economy was the worst of the worst, and started teaching and working with police. So I was glutton for punishment is really what I was.
Well, no, actually it went over very well because I came into this full-time about 15 years ago, too. You know, you get tired of the corporate, you know, merry-go-round, and it's like, no, I need something else to do. But I found it interesting in the book that you talked about Miss Cleo and coming out about the time that she was really popular, because I fought that, too. And on top of that, my maiden name is Harris, so it's like, oh, my God. You know?
Oh, geez. I sometimes share that story, but not everybody knows who Miss Cleo is. So,
enlighten them.
You do. So Miss Cleo was a television, she had the commercials on television, especially late at night, and she had a Jamaican type of an accent, and I do a really bad accent, and Miss Cleo called me, you know, and so she was considered a fraud, and she really wasn't Jamaican at all. I actually know somebody who was really good friends with her, and they said she actually was very intuitive, but she took a turn for the worst, you know, with the way that she presented herself. It was gimmicky. It was gimmicky. And so I always say, you know, if you say at that time, you know, I want to be a psychic or a medium, it was Psychic Friends Network or it was the Ms. Cleo era. And they're like, yeah, you do that, honey.
you're not honest.
Right. It wasn't looked at as being an ethical, you know, type of a career choice. They're like, okay, you're looking to steal people's money. Good luck. And so we've come a long way. So, you know, this industry, we still have to fight a lot of taboos and a lot of stigmas, but I think we've come a long way. And that's one reason why I write the books that I write is because I believe that everybody has some sort of an intuitive gift. And I write the book so that you can maybe discover that you have it. And it doesn't mean that you have to put up a flashing psychic sign, but it just sort of helps bring awareness to your gift so that you can tune in.
It does. Well, folks, we're speaking with Christy Robinette. Her latest book is Messages from a Wonderful Afterlife. signs loved ones send from beyond. You can check her out at her website, and that's ChristyRobinette.com. Christy, share with us some ways that we can communicate with the other side, or maybe even the other side communicates with us, and we just, you know, we're oblivious. We're looking so hard for the communication, we miss it.
Yeah, a lot of times it's so subtle, those heaven hellos. But just as we communicate differently with those on this earthly plane, those on the other side communicate with us differently, or we communicate with them differently. So we have to take in all of our senses, and I think that's kind of what our sixth sense is. It's the cumulativeness of all the six, all of our five senses that, you know, are like the superpower that go into that sixth sense. So it can just be simply that gut feeling that we get, or that we get the shivers, or that we feel like we have to make that phone call, or you might hear your name being called while you're falling asleep, or there's electronic disturbances where a light bulb keeps burning out, or your cell phone keeps not keeping a charge. And that's not the iPhone issue, like that battery issue. Like probably everyone that's having that iPhone battery issue, that's not like grandma from the other side. That's an actual iPhone issue. The shadow out of the corner of your eye, or you can feel like you're being, you know, touched, or you see repeated numbers or symbols, or you find coins, or there's a cardinal that's, you know, pecking, you know, at your patio door. And all those things, you know, when you hear them, you're like, yeah, check, check, check. I've had that happen, But you always think that it's just coincidental. And there's just not coincidences. You know, there's just not. I think that we think that so much of life is random, and that's not the case at all. So those are typically visits from the other side that you're having when you've had those experiences.
Okay, could you share with us the story about the lily? Because to me that was one of the more profound ones, because the man had died and the wife was still angry.
Oh, now I got to think of which one. Like two books at the same time.
Yeah, I can't remember the names. The husband had died. The wife was very angry. She came to see you. It was pretty soon after he had crossed, and we'll talk about the length of time to get a reading, but it was pretty soon after he had crossed, and she kept saying there was no signs.
Yeah.
Looking for them desperately, and he had told her how he would come to her, and I guess she had forgotten about that.
Yeah, so she was really, really angry because she was not getting her signs. And even in her session, she was very upset with me because she, and I kept telling her, you're allowed to be mad. You're allowed to be sad. Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, you know, I'm giving you the signs. And she kept saying, but I want my sign now. And I kept telling her name was Debbie. And I kept saying, you need to give, Debbie, you need to give. I promise you'll receive your sign. But it's not like mediums or even those on the other side wave a magic wand and produce that instant sign. And I don't think that would be as gratifying. You know, I think it's the spontaneous signs when we most need them is when we receive them. Mm-hmm. So it was like 6-ish months when she came back, and she had her daughter with her, and she said, I have to show you this. And she showed me a photo on her phone, and she said, see this? And there was on the photo, there was a lily that was growing out of the crack in the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And she said, I stepped outside the side door and it had grown like overnight in the crack of the drive. There's no lilies anywhere. And on their first date, this makes me want to cry. On their first date, he didn't like roses. Her husband didn't like roses. And on their first date, he gave her a potted lily plant. And so the validation of that, and then on top of that, she's like, one more thing, and she showed me a photo of her newest grandbaby, and can you guess what they named the baby? Lily. So it was, you know, it's sort of like the groan, you know, that you're like, oh, yeah, that's really, and she was still mad at him. She was still obsessed with receiving her signs. You know, so even those very descript, you know, signs, we often, it's not good enough. It's not good. We want more. And I do it too. I did do it actually. My mom loved like craft fairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple weeks ago, we went to like a vintage barn that had kind of crafty stuff. And I was like, Mom, you know, I know that you'd love this place. So this would be a great place for you to give me a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't in the book. This just happened a couple weeks ago. And so I'm walking around and I see my mom loved iced tea, and I see a great big container that she used to put her iced tea in that I haven't seen in years. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool sign, but that's not good enough. So I'm doing it too. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I'm walking around and I see a doll that my mom collects dolls, which I think are creepy, but she loved dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a doll that she had. I go, oh, that's cool, Mom. That's a great sign, but that's not good enough either. And then I turn the corner and there is an actual sign. And it says, it said something like Nana's Place.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, as a grandma, her name was Nana.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, so I actually had to have a sign to be my sign. Like, how dense is that? So,
be careful what you ask for. You
exactly.
ask for a sign.
I did. So she took it specifically that I needed a sign.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we do get upset that we don't pick up on everything, and we do need patience, and sometimes we need that open perception as well.
Well, you know, sometimes signs come and you don't know what happened. I have dogs in my household. I don't have cats. And my sister, about 2 months earlier, she wanted a cat, and I had a client whose mom was a cat lady. So we went and we picked out a cat, and she bought the cat and all of that. And she went home. She lives 30 miles from me. So, you know, she went home. And I came home one day, and as I came up the step on the stoop, I heard this cat. And I'm like, what? And so I went to look for the cat, and the cat was by the fountain. And I reached for it, and the cat just immediately jumped up on my shoulder and started purring. And I'm like, okay,
oh, wow.
this is strange, because it was a beautiful gray cat, absolutely gorgeous gray cat. And so I said, you know, I can't keep you because my dogs will eat you. So I literally put the cat in my purse so I could take the cat to the garage. And I put the cat in the garage, and the cat just wanted to be with me. So I ended up calling the authorities to come get it because I couldn't, you know, keep the cat and all of that.
Right.
It turned out that the cat lady had passed away that morning.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we don't have stray cats in the neighborhood or anything like that. And I was telling, you know, my client, I said, it's highly unusual for a cat to be loose because we just don't have them in the neighborhood. I don't know why. We just don't. And the cat was there purring, and it stayed with me. When the animal control came to get the cat, he goes, oh, don't worry. This cat's going to be adopted immediately. It's so lovable and whatever. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I did follow up, and yes, it was adopted, because I'm like, if you can't, you know, get it adopted somehow, I'll take it and, you know, give it to a good home. But it was just amazing because that person wasn't related to me at all. I mean, the only interaction I had with her was, you know, the hour or so I was in her house, you know, with all the cats.
Getting a cat. Yeah, but you have that light. And that light, you know, and that's goosebumpy.
Yeah, that blew me away.
I love that. Yeah.
That blew me away. So it's just really, sometimes you get those signs and you just don't know. Now, sometimes when people pass away, they don't always go wherever it is they're supposed to go. Maybe they're afraid of going to hell, or they just don't want to go to heaven, and they remain stuck. So why is it some people just move on to what's next, and then other people stay here on Earth plane?
Yeah, I think it's afraid of judgment. You know, sometimes it's the unexpected passing, it's the accident, it's even sometimes the suicides. They're worried about their loved ones that they've left here, and they want to somehow feel like they can stay with them better if they don't cross over, which really that's not the go-to. You can be with your loved ones, you know, if you cross over as well. Remember the TV series, The Ghost Whisperer, you know,
mm-hmm.
several years back.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of scared a lot of my clients, because in that she could only see the spirits that had not crossed over. So when
mm-hmm.
they're coming to see me, and I'm like, Grandma's there and your son's there, and they're like, oh my gosh, you mean they haven't crossed over? And that's not it. There is an in-between, but there is definitely a heaven. as well. So a lot of times they're afraid that goodbye, that is final. And so sometimes it is the judgment. They're afraid, like you said, that they're going to go to hell, or they're afraid that they're going to go to a bad place, or they're going to be judged for something.
Mm-hmm. Is there really a hell, in your opinion?
Not in like we see it from a theological standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I will actually have a new book that'll be out in August that it originally was called Heaven, Hell, and In Between, and they renamed it because they didn't like hell in the title, but mm-hmm. it's Journey into the Afterlife, and it discusses how a lot of times people have made their earthly time hell, and mm-hmm. when they cross over, that we have this vibration that we carry with us. It's like our blueprint. And we can grow that vibration, or we can stop growing that vibration. And so if we're not growing that vibration, we turn our life into that living hell. And the other side, I think, you know, we can do that as well. If we're miserable here, we're miserable there.
Yeah, well, you know, the energy keeps going on. And the other thing that you talk about in your book is that when people cross over, they don't immediately change into some etherical, wonderful, you know, ascended master. They're basically still the same person that they were here on Earth. Talk to us about that a little more.
I don't know where we got that idea from, but we certainly got that idea that as soon as we step over to the other side, we're angel wings and like amazing. That would kind of take out the whole living. That would take out the whole earthly effect of all of our experiences here if we did that. So we keep our personalities, we keep our likes and our dislikes, and we just don't have our physicalities of that. And that doesn't matter, you know, and even some of it, the religious aspects, you know, sometimes they'll come and they'll validate that they're who they are through, you know, I was Catholic or I was Jewish or, you know, or skin color or political, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily make us who we are. So when we cross over to the other side, we keep our personality. So if we're a quieter person here, we're typically a quieter person on the other side. If we were a humble person here, we'll be a humble person on the other side. But like Hitler isn't all of a sudden this, you know, lovely angelic being on the other side that we're having tea with or anything like that. Like that's not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, well, he hasn't grown yet. Now, you also say that when someone crosses over, it's best to wait a year before having a consultation with someone like you. Why is that?
I think that it's a lot of adjusting for not only those on the other side, but for us as well. That grief is so raw, and it takes time, and it's not like you're over it in a year, because you're definitely not. But I think that it's to receive the messages, it's best to wait a year. I'm not saying you have to wait a year, but I think that you get a better reading, a better session. And for them, they've done their angel boot camp. They've done their work on the other side most of the time. And it's sort of like them moving clear across country. They've unpacked their boxes. They've done the home improvements that they needed to do. They've made the adjustments that they needed to do. And so they're in a better place to communicate. They've found their footing too.
Okay, well, folks, we're speaking with Christy Robinette. She is the author of this latest book of hers, Messages from a Wonderful Afterlife, Signs Loved Ones Sent from Beyond. I'll get that out sometime today. You can check her out on her website, and that's ChristyRobinette.com. That's ChristyRobinette.com. Christy, what's the difference between having a dream where someone who's crossed over has come to visit you within the dream and a true heavenly visit?
So a lot of people who have the visitation, they explain it as being a very vivid experience. It's like in Technicolor. It's in like 10G. You know, everything is just very, very vivid. And the experience tends to be very warm and loving, and sometimes helps to answer some questions that the griever has been having. And it, when you wake up, it leaves you with a very peaceful feeling. Now, you can also be very sad because then it's so much like they're alive that you then have to wake up and realize that they're not still in the earthly plane. But a dream is often very different. A dream is not vivid. A dream is just a dream. And I'll have a lot of people who feel guilty about their experiences with a loved one, and they'll have a dream where the person on the other side that had passed is yelling or screaming at them. Or I get a lot of people that come to me and say that they have a dream where they go up to the casket. It's the funeral, like they're reliving it. They go up to the casket and the person comes out like it's a horror movie, and they're screaming or they're showing themselves in grotesque ways. That is a dream. That is not a vision. That is your subconscious, you know, guilty about some situation. You should feel very, it should feel very normal. Like when my mom passed away, she took me to a grocery store in my visit, and it was very vivid and it was very Technicolor. And I was like, I don't get a garden. I get a grocery store, but it was still one of those that sticks with me, you know, 12 years later, and it should stick with you and still be just as vivid from the day that you told everybody of that visit.
So when you're looking at the dream, when you're having this dream, are you looking at the dream as if you're outside watching the dream, or are you actively participating in the dream?
Typically, you're participating in the dream.
Okay.
Yeah, you're actually in the dream, but you're still, I've had a lot of people who said that they've said to their loved ones, I don't understand, but you're dead. You know, like they're having a Christmas morning, or they're having just an everyday, like going to the grocery store, an everyday day with them. They're like, I don't understand that you're dead. And they'll just smile or say, I'm not dead, because they're not dead.
Mm-hmm.
They've just transitioned to, you know, another afterlife, to another vibration. And so that is also a message as well, is that there is no such thing as death. Most of the people, a lot of the people here are the walking dead. So they're not dead on the other side. It's some of these people that you're even working with, that you're interacting with day by day.
Most definitely. Now, when people cross over, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, because I don't, but when people cross over, do they keep their body or to the next level of where they go and eventually lose their body to become energy, or is it an instantaneous shift once they, you know, the heart stops and the brain stops, that they become energy?
That's a great question. So I'll answer it the way that I see it. And I'm not saying that it's the right way, just how I see it. So I often see them in their translucent body of like a physical body right after they pass away. And then when they cross over, they are more spirit. When they come to me, though, they don't look like energy. They look like they were in their physical body. And I think that they've always done that to me, so I'm not afraid. And I can do the validation of this is what their skin color was, this is what their hair color was, you know, in life. Even though it's meaningless on the other side, it's for our validation purposes. Those that have not crossed over, I typically see them in their body form. So they haven't shed themselves from that physical body. And a lot of times it looks a lot of worn, you know, so it's kind of worn out. And so, yeah, that's a great question.
Well, I always wondered about that because when my mom passed away, I had a place in a nursing home and I wasn't there when she passed away, and they called me and told me that she had passed. And then I asked my oldest son just to come and sit next to me because actually I was scared. Yeah. But anyway, he came and he sat next to me, and all of a sudden, like, say, 3 minutes, he starts flapping, you know, he's brushing his ears, right ear, and I'm sitting on his right side, and he goes, what's that, and he's brushing, like, go away, and I said, what was that? He goes, like, this giant spider web was going through my ear, and I said, that was grandma, and he goes, but it was, I have no idea what she was going to say to him, but I think that she was letting him know that she had crossed because none of us were there. And she knew that if she's told me that, I'd have major freak out. So she
Isn't that funny that you work in that mode?
I know.
When somebody close to you, you're like, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't handle death. I don't handle the dead body well. I even do spirit depossession, so that's, you know, how far I can go, but I just don't handle that dead body well. But maybe one day we'll get past that.
I had gotten actually a job opportunity at a funeral home, and then I thought, gosh, I'd have the living yelling at me and the dead,
mm-hmm.
and that probably wouldn't be very good. I'm actually fine with that. One of the things that people hire me for is to go to the funeral home to make sure that their loved ones are happy with the way that they look. And so, you know, and they don't really care normally, you know, but in that sense, but I mean, I have had, you know, some of them say, I hate the way that my lipstick looks, you know, or why did they put that eyeshadow on me or what were they doing? But it's a lot of it's tongue in cheek. It's not done in a like really angry type of a way.
Okay. Well, what about cremation? When Ma died, we had her cremated because my sister and I don't believe in holding the body 9 days for people you've never seen in life to come take a look and, you know, pass their judgment. So they took her away, and they said that they would, you know, do the cremation at a certain time, and it wasn't done within that time period. And I just kept envisioning her, like, in this horrid freezer, and then they just took her from the freezer and put her in the fire, and I'm like, oh, my God. So when they do... with the cremation, is it still the soul just doesn't, it leaves, the spirit leaves, and they're not
it
really
does.
Caring about what happened to the physical body?
Yeah, they don't really care about, I mean, again, it's the personality. If their will was to be buried and you cremated them, they sometimes will be a little bit pissed off. You know, they sometimes will be upset.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they're not there watching themselves be cremated. However, they do watch their funerals.
Mm-hmm.
So we do watch our funerals, and we do sometimes get the Simon Cowell, you know, element of, really, those flowers, that music, what were you thinking? So sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we gave Ma a party. We didn't do it at a funeral, but we gave her a party. But
a celebration.
Yeah. You know, it was actually on my dad's birthday. She died in February. His birthday was in March, so we did it on his birthday. Actually, it was 2 days ago, his birthday. Talk to us about Alzheimer's and dementia and crossing over, because if someone is deep in Alzheimer's, which my mom was, and she also had lung cancer, do they really realize they've passed over?
Yeah, so they typically are already 1 foot on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That someone who has had some sort of a neurological trauma, whether it's Alzheimer's, dementia, stroke, coma, you know, car accident that way, they typically have already almost crossed.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a relief for them to finally have something physical to allow themselves to go to the other side with. And so your mom had probably crossed, you know, 6 months previously before her physical body said, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, you know, that wonderful relief. So a lot of times if you are experiencing somebody in your family that has this condition and they're talking about people from the other side as if they're in the room, I've seen a lot of people dismiss that. But that's real and true. Those people are in the room. They're communicating with those loved ones on the other side because they are, you know, balancing between both of those worlds. And I actually think that that's a beautiful thing. I think it's their escape. So they're not suffering through that Alzheimer's as much as we earthly see them suffering through it.
Oh, exactly. And I remember going to see my mom and she'd go, oh, your dad came by and we went to lunch, or your dad came by and we went dancing, or your dad came by, we had a fight. And then she would talk about her daddy. And then what was really interesting was her brother, who was just, she had 7 siblings, but the one who was immediately older than her, he had passed away while she was in this state and we didn't tell her. And the next day, I went to see her, and she goes, oh, Jimbo came by last night. We had a grand old time. We played cards and everything. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, I love that.
You know? So,
yeah, I mean, that just tells it right there, because I've had a friend whose mom had Alzheimer's for almost I think it was like 15, 17 years. Uh-huh. And her sister had passed away, and they didn't tell her either. They just didn't know how she was going to handle it or even understand it.
Uh-huh.
And she would say that too. She's like, she is here, you know. She visited. Isn't it nice that she visits me every day? And they're like, yep, it really is. You know, that really, because that was their heaven hello too.
Yeah.
You know, that was their sign from above that their sister was okay as well.
Yeah. And it's wonderful messages, folks, if you just, you know, like pay attention and, you know, and be present. Like with my mom, I just went with the story to glean as much information from her as possible. Now, this is something, Christy, that I've noticed when I was in the nursing home visiting my mom that several people getting ready to cross over did. And I don't know if you're experience this or not, but they would be laying down and the right arm would be up and extended for a period of time. And I took that as they were getting some type of message, because before my mom went into the coma, before she passed, she would raise that arm, and then the next couple of days, you know, she talked to me and she said, you know, I almost crossed over last night. But I wanted to stay to tell you one more thing. And it's like, okay, Mom, what was that one more thing? I don't know.
But I don't remember.
But it was like she said, I'm getting information. I know that if I let go, I'll be free. So are you aware of that at all? I've noticed many people doing it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I have a friend who has a hospice, and it's in her house.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got this beautiful old Victorian home, and she lets these people transition in this beautiful space, and she's got a wonderful soul as well. But
mm-hmm.
I've seen them, like, on their deathbed with their arms reached up high. And I always say that it's sort of like they are doing the whole, okay, take me. Come on, pick me up. You know, it's time to pick me up. And take me into your arms and let me go to the other side. So I do think it's a message, or sometimes a message that they're sharing,
mm-hmm.
you know, with those on the other side too. So, yeah, I don't think it's just simply a muscular reaction, you know,
yeah.
or stiffening. Yeah.
Okay. So what about our pets, our beloved pets? Do they go to heaven too?
They do. Yeah. So And I have a book that actually comes out in the next couple of weeks that's called Tales from the Afterlife, that's specifically pet-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I tease it in this, you know, messages from a wonderful afterlife, that absolutely our dogs and our cats and even our roosters go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So it is because the things that we love here, you know, we take with us to the other side, or they meet us on the other side if they transition before us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our heaven is. We vibrate at that, you know, vibrational alignment, and they're part of us. And sometimes people like their pets better than they like their humans. So
yeah,
they'd rather spend more time with their dog than they would their parents.
Your
child or sibling or whatever. Steven. So and I think that our animals can be soulmates as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can be our soulmates. So there's that strong connection that we have, and that doesn't go away after the physical body departs.
Okay. Well, Christy, I've really enjoyed our time together, but before we go, when we go to your website, ChristyRobinette.com, what are we going to find there?
Oh, gosh, there's more information about me in case you're interested. There's a little bio about me. I do a lot of events. I'm in the Michigan area.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a blog, and the blog is on Pathios, but it takes you to the blog. And it also tells you about several of my services and my speaking engagements that I have. So, it's in my social media. Obviously, we all have to have that social media
yes.
presence now. So you can also purchase my books. It'll take you to the different links where my books are.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that your listeners will visit me.
Oh, listeners, go visit her. And, you know, I've had Christy on before, and, you know, her books, folks, they're easy read. I sat down and I read it in, what, 2 hours, and it took me 2 hours only because I got up and did something else. So page turner, easy read. Okay, so go get the book. If this interests you at all, she will answer a lot of your questions in the book. And Christy and the audience, I thank you for being with me tonight as we collectively get over it and receive messages from a wonderful afterlife. I am truly honored and I appreciate your time and attention. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And when you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.